Rarely has mankind hesitated.
It is time. Nick Solo Variety Alien Time Show. Nick Solo Variety Alien Time Show. Nick Solo Variety Alien Time Show. Nick Solo Variety Alien Time Show.
Greetings, ladies, gentlemen, governments. You know what? No, not doing it. I am not starting my show this way. That is in the past. No, not doing it. This is my show now, okay, everybody? This is Nick, by the way. My show, Erratic Samurai, back at it again, and back at it again alone. Okay, Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind is no more. I have gone solo, and I'm crossing my fingers that my solo career is more successful than JC's, right, when he left, or when NSYNC broke up. I'm hoping that my solo career is a little bit better than that. For those wondering what the hell's going on, Tasker and I had a bit of a falling out recently, okay? Now, you see, it's a couple things, but what it comes down to is he thought he was my boss, man. He thought he was the boss. As you guys have noticed in the last few episodes, he's always talking about, you know, cutting jokes, and he's always talking about making sure I get the outline done on time. Right. He's always cutting my best jokes, always saying shit like, Nick, that's racist. Nick, you can't say that. Nick, you can't say that about women. It's not the 50s anymore. I'm cutting your joke. Well, guess what, guys? I'm the boss now. In fact, I'm my own boss. Right. I make my hours. I record when I want. I do what I want on the outline now. And no more cutting questionable jokes. Right. I can interview whoever I want. And I can talk about anything I want. So this is my show, and I had security, aka my dog Kiwi, kindly escort Tasker out of, you know, the podcast after recording last episode faster than a sex session with me. So it only took about 20 seconds or so to get him off the podcast. Now, you know what else drove me to this point? It's been 65 episodes, okay? It's been 65 straight episodes of me trying to open up Tasker's soul, open up Tasker's third eye for his own benefit, might I add, right? I'm a bit of a saint. I'm a martyr in this situation. I'm not doing it out. I'm not getting anything out of it. Just trying to help him out. I tell him to drink lemon juice to decalcify his pineal gland. And does he? No, he tells me he does sometimes, but I doubt it. I tell him, stop taking showers, right? So the fluoride in the tap water stops seeping in through his many holes and calcifies his pineal gland further. And does he listen to me? No. But that is the problem with artists, right? Always thinking in the second and third dimension, as we've talked about before, because their jobs depend on it. And I get that to a certain degree, right? But I get it. But at a certain point, I need change, right? I need a man who can change, Tasker. Anyway, welcome to the first episode of the Nick Solo Variety Alien Time Show. And yes, it does say Alien Time Show, but I can talk about whatever the fuck I want. Don't you censor me, right? What are you, China? You can't censor me. And speaking of China, here is an alien abduction fanfic that involves the band BTS, right? I think this is quite a popular band with the young people these days. BTS. So are they China? Are they from China? I don't know. I don't really give a shit. No offense, guys. Look, I'm part Asian myself. I still have a hard time telling, to be honest with you. But speaking of China, here's a fanfic involving aliens and BTS. Thought you might enjoy it. Let's see what kind of gross things the internet has for us today. And the picture is fantastic, by the way. It's what I assume is all seven members of BTS posing for a photo, but the alien iPhone emoji is over each one of their heads, so they all look alike, right? But that's assuming they didn't all look alike before. Okay, let's move on. Here's the introduction. This is by Cash3 Money, written by Cash3 Money. Only has 20 views, and I am probably three of them. So that's disgusting. Here's the introduction. The BTS members are chilling in the backyard until Kim Namjoon, RM, looks up in the sky and says, OMG, what is that? Then the rest of the members look up too and say, it's a UFO. Oh no. And Jungkook starts crying. The UFO gets closer and closer to them. And then it sucks all the members up into the UFO. Whoa, is what it says. Let's continue. Then two aliens come out and one of them says, OMG, we're big fans. We made a turkey for you guys. We knew you guys were gonna be here. OMG, what a coincidence. Jungkook stops crying when he hears the word turkey. Oh, God. Then seven robots come out of nowhere and they each grab a member. And they sat them on chairs, right? And there's this photo. It looks like an IKEA dining room set photo for the internet. And it just has the members of BTS photoshopped onto said chairs. Then the other alien brings out a turkey and they all start eating, except Jimin. Is that how you say his name? J-I-M-I-N. Jimin. I don't know, man. Let's continue this. Oh, the title of this chapter is Jimin Finds Something Bad. Jimin walks out the room without anyone looking and finds a book on the table. He looks at the book and it says, How to Cook Humans. Uh-oh. It says he twice. So I will be doing the grammar and spelling issues in these fanfics because you guys know that they're chock full of this bullshit. He gets Jungshooked. Oh, Jesus Christ. And runs back to the rest of the members and shows them the book. He says, oh, they're trying to fatten us up to eat us. The two aliens run to the BTS members and one of them grabs the book from Jimin's hands and blows the dust off. And now it says, how to cook for humans. Oh, it's cute. Then Jimin grabs the book back and blows off more dust. And now the book says, how to cook 40 humans. And they spelt 40 F-O-U-R-T-Y. All right. Then the alien grabs the book back and blows off more dust. And now the book says, how to cook for 40 humans. Wait, is that how you spell 40? Were they correct? Hold on, let me look this up. I might be the idiot. Now I'm second guessing myself. 40 or 40? 40 is the proper. Yeah, so I was right. They're idiots. Okay, so there's no U in 40. Come on, guys. Anyway, so they blow off the dust on the book for like a fifth time. It says, how to cook for 40 humans. Then Jimin says, oh, sorry. And the alien starts crying. The other alien says, she just wanted to make a turkey for y'all because she was an army and this is what you guys do. The seven robots from earlier come out of nowhere again and each robot threw a member off the UFO. The end. That was it. That was the BTS alien abduction. It says to be continued. I will not be checking to make sure that is the case. I don't want to know any more about BTS. I don't want to know anything else about this person's alien abduction fantasies with BTS, to be honest with you. Like, I can kind of get it, right? I looked up pictures to see what BTS looks like. They're androgynous enough to where, like, I get it, you know, but it's just not my thing. And it's kind of disrespectful to aliens. I mean, just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. And that's another problem I have with Tasker. He was kind of disrespectful to aliens, right? Right? I spent all this time doing research. I spent all this time trying to find the truth behind different alien species and their agendas. And Tasker just comes in willy-nilly with his lazy, half-assed, skeptic viewpoints and trying to debunk every way that he can. And it's just like, man, come on. Right. If you're not going to open up your third eye, that's fine. Let go with the flow, though, because when they come down and it's either the reptilians that are going to start fucking eating us or the Palladians who were going to like be our saviors and take us aboard a starship, right? Like in that Styx song, then you're going to get left behind because you've just been an asshole this whole time to the aliens. That's just me, man. So, you know, respect the erratic samurai says, respect the aliens. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Please don't abduct me. Okay, guys. Now, this next fanfic is an interesting one. And I mean interesting by basically meaning gross. It's fucking gross, okay? So it's taking the furry degeneracy that I've been on and on about and making it worse somehow because it taints something that was once near and dear to my heart. Pokemon, okay? Pokemans, if you will. And enjoy this, all right? Enjoy this as much as I didn't. This is explicit. I'm on a website where they create fanfic, and there are different tags that you can put your fanfic under. I'm just going to read some of the tags. Okay, so this is Pokemans. And let's go ahead and look at the tags. Okay. Oh, geez. All right. Explicit sexual content, harems, Pokemon, human slash Pokemon relationships, human slash Pokemon sex, humanized Pokemon. Okay. Reader insert, POV, second person, threesome, FFM, foursome, FFFF, that's four females, multiple orgasms, multiple partners, multiple sex positions, hand jobs, oral sex, blowjobs, cunnilingus, vaginal sex, vaginal fingering, rimming, cum eating, cum swallowing, cum shot, cum sharing, snowballing, snowballing, kissing, French kissing, cream pie, breeding, impregnation, lactation, lactation kink, breast fucking, breastfeeding, large breast, deep throating, face sitting, face fucking, lipstick and lip gloss, cock worship, happy sex, group sex, mating cycles slash in heat, rutting. I don't even know what rutting is, and I'm not looking it up. Missionary position, doggy style, cowgirl position, pheromones, aphrodisiacs. Yikes. I'm not going to read the whole thing, guys. It's long as hell. I think in its entirety, holy crap, it's long. Yeah, it's about 32,000 words. So I'm just going to read until one of us throws up, all right? Whether it's you or me. Okay. And this is by somebody named Fantasy EX. Good for them. Good Lord. Okay. So here's the background. So after your eventful night with Lopunny and Sarina, you wake up to find your Pokemon have had a talk with the rest of your team. Apparently, they've managed to convince the rest of their Pokemon to let you knock them all up. All 16 of them. Oh, God. Okay, come on, guys. This is not fun. This is not what you're supposed to do with Pokemans, dude. Okay. You wake up feeling exhausted, yet strangely refreshed. Your body is sore. Your sheets are soaked in sweat, among other things. And I don't know some of these Pokemon names. Sarina and Lopunny are cuddled up beside you, suspiciously peaceful expressions resting on their faces. And I want everybody out there to know Lopunny is literally just like a bunny Pokemon, okay? So that's what we're dealing with here. With all the mischief they got you into yesterday and well into last night, you half expected to wake up with at least one of them riding you or sucking you off. You're pleasantly surprised then to see them behaving, if only in their sleep. You smile, put the two Pokemon close, and nod off again, slightly, softly, as you slip back into sleep. Okay. You wake up a bit groggy, stirring out of sleep in response to some noise in your room. You roll over to notice that your Pokemon aren't in bed with you anymore. You sit up, glancing around, confused. You spot a scrap of paper on your nightstand with a hastily scrawled note. And the note says, "Master, went to Pokemon Center. Back soon. Love, Lopunny, colon, three face." like the cat anime face that Tasker so probably fawned. Rip, right? You can't help but smirk, chuckling at the messy handwriting and the little lipstick print on the paper. Oh, God. Blinking away the sleep in your eyes, you begin to come to your senses and read the note over again. Then one more time. What are those two doing at the Pokemon Center? You scratch your head, racking your brain for reasons as to why Sarita and Lopunny might have made such an early trip into town. You don't have to wonder for very long, though. A loud thud of your front door closing, followed quickly by giddy giggles and a high-pitched voice calling out for you, signals the answer is on its way. Master, Lopunny calls, we're back. And we found a surprise for you, Sarina adds, poking your head into your door. Oh boy. The busty, grass type smirks at you, her lips curled smugly as she runs her gaze up and down your body. She's carrying a heavy-looking bag, which she hefts in front of her to give you a good look at the lumpy bundle. Okay, I hope you're all rested up, Master, Sarina giggles. You're going to need all the energy you can spare today. She hoists the bag, and immediately you hear the telltale clack of Pokeballs clattering around inside. You tilt your head at her, your lips parting as you try to stammer out the beginnings of your question. How could these two have possibly withdrawn so many of your Pokemon? Certainly, Nurse Joy wouldn't have let them under normal circumstances. They were clearly up to something, but what that something was, you just aren't sure of yet.
I bet you're wondering what we're doing with all your Pokemon,
Lopunny squeals, bouncing into your room.
Aren't you, Master?
You nod. Yeah, you mutter. I really am. Sarina steps forward and sets the bag down on your bed, letting it tip over. Somewhere, over a dozen Pokeballs spill out, tumbling onto the bed and rolling into a big heap. Now you're even more curious. You pick one of the spheres up and click the button on it. The Pokeball grows to its full size, and you open it up. In a bright white flash of light, the Pokemon housed inside is freed and materializes beside your bed. What are you wearing? You manage to ask before your jaw drops. Oh, no. You've always known Gothitelle, I don't know how to say this one either, Gothitelle, to dress rather conservatively. But right now, the black-haired Pokemon's outfit would barely pass for clothes, in your opinion. Her dress is nowhere to be found, and in its place, a skimpy, revealing skirt hugs her slim waist. Form-fitting, black netting clings tightly to her chest underneath what would be best described as an impractically small, white, lacy apron. Her slender thighs are snugly wrapped in fishnet stockings, and she's wearing a pair of black high-heeled shoes. A rosy blush settles on her pale skin as she emerges from her Pokeball, and she reaches up to toy with her drill-shaped twin tails, twirling her fingers around the tips as she eyes you with all too familiar look in her violet eyes.
Hello, Master. Gothitelle greets, courtesyingly polite. Don't you like my outfit? I picked it out just for you.
You can't help but notice the distinct lack of panties beneath her too short skirt. Your eyes widen a bit at the sight of her smooth, flushed pussy. Okay, all right, here we go. You look her up and down. Your heart beginning to race as you realize what is probably happening. Your Pokemon wouldn't have dressed up like a slutty French maid if she just didn't have plans for you after all. It's a good look for you, you admit, but what exactly is the occasion? Gothitelle grins and leans forward, tugging her apron down just a bit to reveal her cleavage. She might be a bit smaller than Sarita and Lopunny, but she's very stacked for her size. Her breasts bounce as she bends over, her purple lipstick shining in the light.
I think you can take a guess, Master. She giggles. But if you still don't get the idea...
A pink glow surrounds another Pokeball, which hovers into the air and expands to its full size. It opens up and releases a stream of light. The glow settles next to Gothitelle. You can find yourself surrounded by four of your Pokemon. Alcremie, I think that's how you say that Pokemon. Alcremie comes out of her capsule with a confused look on her face. She's sucking frosting from the tip of her finger, and she glances around for a moment, blinking her big pink eyes. Her cream-colored hair is styled almost like a pile of whipped dessert, swirling into a peak topped by strawberry pin. I need to look up this Pokemon real quick. I don't know what Alcremie looks like. I'll describe it to you guys, but I have a feeling it's literally like a dessert. Oh, for fuck's sake. All right. So it's pretty much just a... It's like if a pile of whipped cream had eyes. Okay. And that's what's happening here. This is the one that he wants to bang. One of them. Jesus Christ. Do you see what happens, guys? We start giving furries an inch and they take a mile, right? We're not allowed to bully them anymore. So then they start fucking Pokemon. I don't know. That's my opinion. Let's keep reading and see if this is just smut or if it's just smut. Okay, there's no redemption here.
Hey, why did you let me out so early? She whines. I didn't get to finish my cupcake.
Alcremie puffs her cheeks at Gothitelle, who simply shrugs, chuckling at the pudgy Pokemon's frown. Like Gothitelle, Alcremie seems to have made a few adjustments to her outfit. Okay, good. Her lemon vanilla dress has been shortened into a skirt, hemmed by silky fabric made to look like piped cream puffs. Her top stops well below her collar, and her plump, busty breasts are threatening to spill out at any moment. The creamy flesh of her chest wobbles and jiggles, and you can see her puffy, gumdrop pink nipples peeking over her top. This is fucking disgusting, man. Who wrote this shit? Her thick thighs are snugly squashed by high socks to match her skirt, and she seems to have kicked off her shoes at some point. Guys, remember, this is a pile of whipped cream, okay? Where did you guys get the money for all these new clothes, you mutter, not taking your eyes off Alcremie's chest.
Don't you worry about that, Master, Gothitelle chirps, pushing you down onto your bed. Right now, all you need to think about...
She pressed her finger against your bare chest and slowly traces a path down, her nail gently dragging its way over your skin.
Is us.
Alcremie finishes Gothitelle's teasing statement, chiming in with a playful, squeaky tone as she leaps onto the bed. You and Gothitelle bounce for a moment, the psychic Pokemon yelping in surprise as she's tossed into the air by Alcremie. You can't help but giggle along with your chubby fairy Pokemon. Okay. You understand well enough what's about to happen, but Lopunny can't contain her excitement and butts in to explain everything to you.
Everyone else is so excited when you told them what you did with us, Master, she squeals. First, Gothy asked if we could get you to breed her. Then Rosie said she wanted to get pregnant. Then Lily, then Vespi, and hang on, you stammer. Just how many of you are in on this?
Lopunny counted on her fingers for a moment, piercing her lips in concentration. 4, 5, 16, she happily announces, not counting me and Serena. Your jaw drops as Gothitelle straddles your waist, giving you a shrug and a reassuring smile. 18 Pokemon. That every single female Pokemon you've caught thus far. Somehow, Serena and Lopunny have, with very little effort, it would seem, convinced them all to let you knock them up. You're about to object, of course. Last night was, after all, the best night of your life. But you can't help but think that it's about to be a long, long day.
Don't worry, Master, Alchemy says cheerfully. It's going to be so fun for everyone.
She scooches over to your side, leans down, and plants a nice long kiss on your cheek. When she pulls away, you're left with a strawberry pink lipstick print on your face. Clearly eager to get started, she swings one of her plump thighs over your head, leaving you lying beneath her skirt. Just like Gothitelle, Alchemy had neglected panties. You can't help but wonder if all your Pokemon decided to go commando today. The thought passes quickly enough as you take in the sight of what's hidden up Alchemy's skirt. Her soft, creamy thighs practically spilling out of her tight socks are spread just wide enough to give you a good look at her pussy. Plump, rosy pink with arousal, and topped by a neat little tuft of vanilla blonde hair. Alchemy's lower lips are nothing short of irresistible. I don't feel so good. Alchemy drips her hips with a soft poof, and her chubby bottom comes down on your face. She squeaks happily, squeak, as you let out a muffled grunt. Oh my God. Your mouth flush against her sweet, puffy pussy. You also reflexively stick your tongue out, dragging it in between Alchemy's soft, tender lips. She squeezes her juicy thighs together around your head, squashing you between their pillowy flesh. A moan escapes her lips, and she leans on your chest as Gothitelle eases herself into position. You feel Gothitelle's much more slender frame, rude, by the way, sir, much more slender frame, straddling your waist, and she grinds against you, her bare pussy rubbing against your erection through your underwear. She steadies herself with her hands on your waist, leaning forward and moaning softly as she rumps against you. Oh, Master, Gothitelle, gasp. It feels so big. Who fucking wrote this, man? Who had the cojones and the degenerate genes in their body to write something like this? Guys, I'm like an eighth of the way finished with this. Maybe not even that. And I don't know how much longer I can do this. Somebody took time out of their lives to create something so vile. Good Lord. Okay, here we go. You feel her shiver. Most of your attention is devoted to Alchemy's pussy at the moment. You lap at her folds, your tongue sliding back and forth along her delicious, sugary, sweet slit. Yeah, buddy. You're amazed at the taste, moaning into her cunt as you hungrily lick away, savoring the sweet, tart flavor of her juices. Okay. She starts to move just a bit, whimpering and moaning softly, then begins grinding her against your face. Her wetness dripping freely into your mouth and running down your chin. I can't wait to feel this inside me, Gothitelle moans, her voice dripping with eager, greedy lust. You feel her lean her weight forward and hear a surprised squeak from Alchemy. Gothitelle moans, her voice muffled, as she fumbles with your underwear, managing to free your cack after a moment. The breathless gasp, moans, and wet smacking of tongues above you tells you that Gothitelle and Alchemy are entwined in a deep kiss. Okay, all right, guys, I'm calling it at this. I can't go on any further. This is just too much for me, right? Like, it would be fine if it was humans, I suppose. But, I mean, it's one thing to have it be like anthropomorphic wolves, right? That's, I can make fun of that, haha, bunch of furries, you know what I mean? But then it's Pokemon. Right. And these furries have taken something that I used to love as a child. I used to have a lot of fun with. I still sometimes play Pokemon, believe it or not. Don't tell Tasker. All right. Don't tell Tasker. But I sometimes still play Pokemon. I know it's technically an anime. Right.
But it's so ingrained in my childhood. I grew up with it. It's fun, so I still play it. And then to read somebody's smutty fanfic of eating out an innocent looking whipped cream Pokemon, and like, you know, and there's like a bunny involved. It just doesn't make any sense. And it's something that I'm not super into, obviously, right? This is just taking furry stuff and it's furry shit on steroids. Like, let me jump about half. Okay, that wasn't probably not even an eighth of the way. Let me scroll all the way down. I'm going to go down to about halfway. I'm just going to read one more excerpt and show you what kind of stuff we're dealing with here. You're really having a hard time deciding who you want to fuck first. You grip your cock, hardly even noticing yourself stroking as warm, slippery pre-cum gushes from your tip. I really hope there's no children listening to this, by the way. Your Pokemon gasp at the sight, as if appalled that you would even consider masturbating when they're offering their bodies. You can't help it, though. You're just too damn turned on by whatever it is filling the air. With that, you feel like you'll explode if you can't come. God, listen to this shit. Listen to this smut that this person created, guys. And they put a lot of time into this. It's a long ass. Oh, boy. All right. So I'm going to let's stop talking about this. I feel sick. I almost threw up. Hopefully one of you guys threw up already so I can officially end this. If I can end this Pokemon nightmare that I found myself in. Now, I do want to read one more fanfic to you guys, but this is a respectable, tasteful fanfic. This is how fanfic should be done, okay? I think. It's a romance, I think, but it's not smutty, okay? And it's not furry shit for the kind. Well, I don't know. I'll let you guys be the judge of that. But it's not smutty, right? Nobody's coming inside a Pokemon and nobody's like abducting BTS and out of some weird fetish they have, and nobody's like having sex and yiffing. Nobody's yiffing, right? So this one's called Monster X Reader, which basically means, you know, you put yourself in the shoes of the reader and you're dealing with a monster. And under the title, it says, "If the shape of water can do it, so can I, bitch." And I respect that, because The Shape of Water was a weird ass movie. This is written by Sucker Punch My Guts. Good name. All right, so let's go ahead and begin reading. So this one is Mothman and the Reader Part 1. You and a friend decided to use your gap year to find the Mothman in West Virginia instead of backpacking through Europe or doing work for charities. Right, tell me about it. Who wants to work for charities? You're always fascinated by the stories and the legend of the Mothman, and decided that it would be fun and exciting for you to see if the legend was true or not. You had to beg and plead a lot to get your friend to join you on your journey, packing all the essentials, snacks, and more snacks, and your best friend. Best friend, BF/N. I don't know what this Zoomer shit is. It says BF/N. I think it's supposed to be somebody's name. It's a boyfriend. I don't know. I'm just going to call the other person John, all right? And your best friend, John, hopped in your shitty van and started on a pretty stupid but interesting road trip to find your husby. Husby? What is that, a husband? You know, Mary Mothman? Maybe I didn't read this very well the first time. We'll see. You saw many different national landmarks on the way to West Virginia. It made you happy to see that John was having fun as well. And you guys took many pictures of the different Ripley's, believe it or not, attractions on the way as well. Your personal favorite was how many shrunken heads you could count in each attraction. And that was the supposed werewolf skull that the owner was oh so proud of. Very cool. Werewolf skull, huh? Once you made it to Point Pleasance, you found your friend began to interview some eager townsfolk about the Mothman and the supposed sightings. You approached an old crotchety man and began to ask him questions about the various sightings. "The Mothman, eh? Well, I happen to know where the best dwells." I think you meant to type out beast, where the beast dwells.
he said matter-of-factly. Will you please lead us to his location, sir? You asked with determination, gleaming in your eyes. He looked at a loss for words and stammered a little as he spoke. Well, I'll tell you where he is. I have many chores to do, so I can't show you exactly. But he lives amongst the trees deep in the forest to the south of this here spot. Just look for signs. He quickly added and began to walk into his house with a hurried pace, right? He's hiding something, clearly. I added that in. Well, that was encouraging, John said sarcastically. You rolled your eyes and grabbed your friend's hand and led him slash her back to the van. God, it's getting tired of these pronouns, man. I named him John, so I'm going to say it's a her, okay? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you guys assume that since I named it John, it was going to be a boy? You just assumed its gender? Nice. Good job. Good job, guys. It's a girl. After loading some gas into the vehicle and putting out the word that you were going to go out into the woods so that people would remember you guys if you died. What? It's just a precaution, you assured your friend. Whatever, man. If I die, I'm going to kill you, she said. After a couple hours of searching in the woods, you guys retired to your van. Unfortunately, your van refused to start. It gave a sort of sputtering cry for release. What? We need to jerk off the van now? A sputtering cry for release as you tried to restart the engine to no avail. Okay, don't freak out, John, but I think we're stuck in the woods, you said anxiously, trying to keep your wavering voice level. She just sighed and lit up a cigarette. Hey, don't light that cig here. It's the woods. You could burn down the whole forest. Fucking hippies. You stated as you yanked it out of her hand. I'm sorry. I just do that when I'm nervous. Jeez, she said. Well, don't be nervous. We can still make it out of these woods if we follow the tire tracks. What tire tracks? You turned to look behind the van and noticed that the pine needles had absorbed the tire tracks and left nothing behind. Now, you were completely hopeless. Well, we can still just head the way we came from, you said, trying to scramble up some courage and hope. Your friend shrugged and pulled out a flashlight from her backpack. It was starting to get very dark very quick. The two of you began to traverse the woods to try to get back to the town. Perhaps waiting in the van was the smarter decision, but you guys weren't exactly Einstein and Neil deGrasse Tyson. And they spelt Neil wrong. It was N-E-A-L is how they spelt it. That's awesome. But they got deGrasse right. That's weird, right? You would think that they would misspell deGrasse and spell Neil correctly. I don't know. Whatever. Fuck it. You heard a strange noise, like a sort of chittering and clicking, and you pointed the flashlight's beams up into the trees, and you saw nothing. Your friend noticed you were frantically searching the trees and pointed her flashlight up too. After about a minute of scanning the trees, you shook your head and continued on. However, you kept hearing the noise, and you paused as you heard a swoosh from up above. What the fuck? Okay, I'm going back to the van. Fuck you for this trip, John said. John said while running frantically back towards the van. Wait, don't leave me, you said. You felt a whoosh of cold air behind you as a massive figure landed behind you. You felt paralyzed, but you managed to turn around, and what you saw horrified you. Seeing the mythical creature before you in person made it feel faint and weak, made you feel faint and weak. He was tall, towered over you. His face was definitely moth-like, and he had massive red orbs for eyes. His feathered wings spread out behind him. His antennae, spelled it weird, twitched at you. He cocked his head and looked at you, slightly cooing, coo, coo. You blacked out and fainted. The last thing you saw was him swooping towards you to catch you with his clawed hands. Let's continue. That was the first chapter. Oh, this is only two parts. Okay. Waking up in a chilly cave in the heart of the West Virginian woods, you heard the sounds of scuffling. Scuffle, 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 scuffle. As the Mothman waddled over to you on his massive bird-like feet, he cooed and snuggled close to you to keep you warm. Coo, coo. You felt your heart skip a beat because out of fear. Okay, now I think this person's been writing this, was writing this too long, right? It was like going on too long. And I think the grammar was never really good, but now it's just starting to drop off completely. But I'm not on Wattpad.com to be a fucking, to be like an English major and shit, you know? You wanted to run and scream, but some part of you felt comforted in this big guy's arms. Nice giant moth bird thingy, you said as you pet his back. The fur he had wasn't really fur. It was a sort of hybrid of moth wing and bird feather. Dude, that's my Native American name, by the way, moth wing and bird feather. It left moth dust on your hand, and he looked at you with eyes that were big and owl-like. They didn't glow like they did at night because it was only reflecting back red. What? You laughed nervously at the whole situation, but noticed that he wasn't going to hurt you. You moved to touch his wings, and he shivered and picked you up in his big ol' arms. It does say big ol' arms, O-L apostrophe. God. You held on to his body, and he was careful not to pierce your skin with his massive clawed hands. He lifted you up and flew you out of the woods. You felt the wind whooshing through your hair, and you buried your face into his chest, or what you presumed was his chest. How could you confuse that? What are you talking about, dude? What are you talking about? How could you, they not know what the part of the body with the chest was? Now they're just making word salad. Okay. And waited for him to put you down. He set you down right on the outskirts of the forest. You felt your feet hit the ground and you smiled. Turning around to face him, you gave him a little kiss on his beak. He cooed and did a small little dance, and you laughed. Coo, coo. I hope we meet again, Mr. Mothman. He saw the approaching police vehicles, and he fled the scene. You watched him leave and sighed wistfully. Turns out, John had called the police after she saw you abducted by a, quote, massive hairy hobo, unquote, and the police were called in immediately. It was 2 years after the meeting, and you still visited the Mothman any chance you got. He was very fond of both you and your clothes. You've woken up in the morning once with your shirt halfway eaten off your body. I get it, because it's a moth. That's racist, dude. Not all moths eat clothes, all right? Jeez. Racist, dog. It's 2021. Come on. Eventually, you couldn't visit him anymore without seeming suspicious. So you just decided to fake your death and live with him. Seemed logical, the end. Nice. Okay, let's break the story down. Yes, it's taking Mothman and putting him into this like romance, this misunderstood monster romance position, right? And yes, at the end there, it was kind of implied that whoever the main character was spends the night and they probably fuck, right? And wakes up, clothes is eaten, you know? But the difference between this story and the other stories I've read to you guys on occasion, including this episode, is they didn't go into detail, right? They didn't kiss and tell. Because to be frank with you guys, this is how like this is how a fanfic should be written, right? Somewhat tastefully, the grammar still sucks, but nobody's come in anywhere. There's no come, right? There's no like animals getting cummed in or come on, and there's no it's like hey they're in love, okay? And yeah, sometimes they spend the night together, but they're in love, all right? And it's a beautiful blossoming relationship between monster and unnamed reader. What's better than that, right? No, I'm not saying I'd be into it. I'm not saying I'd go and start up a relationship with Mothman, but I'm saying if this is the lesser of the evils when it comes to fanfic, okay? So I hope you guys learned something. I made it all the way through without throwing up, so I think that's a good sign, right? So hopefully you did too. Hopefully you did. You got all your vomit out on the last one, the Pokemon one, because that was just degeneracy embodied. All right, so that's enough for fanfics.
what I thought we could do for this next segment is, you know, your boy, Erratic Samurai, is hopefully, and I put this on the Discord, you know, back when it was Close Encounters of the Podcast kind, right? I put this on the Discord saying that I hopefully in the near future here going to be an official MUFON field investigator after passing the test. So what I thought I would do is start bringing a little bit more MUFON into our world, right? The Mutual UFO Network. And I'm sure a lot of you guys out there know about them. And let's talk about some recent cases that have been released publicly from MUFON. So the first one we have is a delta-shaped object silhouetted by moon, reported or released on February 16th, 2021, this year. Okay. This is case number 113663. Suzanne, Mark, and Tyler, last name withheld, were on a family vacation in Divide, Colorado. Suzanne claims to have seen a, quote, dark object reflecting off the moon, unquote. Divide is in the vicinity of Colorado Springs, approximately 60 miles south of Denver. Colorado Springs is the location of the U.S. Air Force and U.S. Space Force Academy. Peterson Air Force Base is also located nearby and adjacent to the Colorado Springs Municipal Airport. Colorado Springs is home to the North American Aerospace Command, NORAD, and the Space Force's 21st Space Wing. Okay, so they pretty much just laid out... They pretty much laid out every reason why it couldn't be a UFO. And I understand, or like at least an alien UFO, right? I mean, there's Air Force bases. I'm looking at the picture right now. Kind of hard to make anything out, make heads or tails of it anyway. But it did say it was delta-shaped. Now, what the fuck does that mean? Let me look this up. If it is what I think it is, let's see. Oh, yeah, it's just like triangular, kind of. Okay. So, hate to say it. This is just Nick's official stance on this case. Looking at the picture, finding out that basically the entirety of the Air Force is based out of Colorado Springs, which is right nearby Divide. I'm going to say probably some kind of stealth craft from the Air Force. A good ufologist must know when to concede to the truth. Okay. And maybe Tasker was rubbing off on me a little bit. I don't know. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about him. But I will say it's a little sketch that we have so many Air Force bases and Space Force bases next to where this triangular shaped object was sighted. And there are plenty of delta shaped stealth bombers and such, and even some fighter jets that look like delta shaped. So I don't know. I'm going to say it was not extraterrestrial. Let's move on to the next one. Boomerang reported over Long Beach. Oh, LBC, huh? LBC. So this one was released February 11th, 2021. Case number 113698. Miguel, first name withheld, while doing his regular exercises and stargazing in his backyard, reported seeing a boomerang traveling from the northeast, generally over Greater Los Angeles region, to the southwest, generally over Pacific Ocean towards Santa Catalina Island. According to Miguel's CMS report, and CMS, by the way, stands for Case Management System, the boomerang was over 300 feet in size. Damn. Had a dark surface, while white exterior lights, no emissions, and no sound. It maintained a constant speed and elevation, had, quote, fuzzy edges, unquote, and a mist or shroud about it. There were no colored running lights on the extreme ends of the boomerang. Oh, I see why they pointed that out, because if there were, it could have been a plane. But there were not. He saw a helicopter in the area after the object flew past. Miguel attached the artist's impression of a boomerang shown below to illustrate what he saw. It was at a distance of more than 1 mile. Okay. This reminds me a lot of, these are pretty common sightings, right? A boomerang shape, bright lights, usually white, that form a V formation on underneath the object. No other colors, usually just white. Kind of reminds me of the Phoenix lights, which is something that I'll probably talk about in the future. The Phoenix lights. But the only thing that has me kind of questioning this is the fact that he saw it at over a mile. I mean, I guess if the object was big enough, I guess just over a mile wouldn't be too far away to see something and make it credible, but hard to tell, right? I think that's an interesting one because this is such a common shape and a common sighting seen throughout the world for UFOs, this boomerang shape, right? Interesting. I like that one. So I'm going to say undetermined. Officially undetermined by Nick. All right, guys, here's another one. This was a case released on January 11th this year. It's called Black Chevron. Again, sighted over Tennessee. Case number 112819. Joshua, last name withheld, was relaxing on his apartment balcony when he observed a very large V-shaped object over Cordova, Tennessee, a suburb of Memphis. The craft had a black surface color and 5 white external lights facing toward the ground. The white lights were unwavering. It was estimated by Joshua to be between 500 feet to 1 mile in distance, and the lowest altitude was greater than 500 feet under a cloud cover. The object, which Joshua associates with the military, was observed for approximately 2 minutes and maintained the same altitude throughout the sighting. Again, guys, we're seeing these boomerang, chevron, V-shaped. It's all the same. Those are all the same, meaning we're seeing these shaped objects all over the place. Same white lights underneath the object. Something's going on, right? I don't know what species is involved with these shaped objects, these crafts, but there's apparently a lot of them. And more of these sightings are coming out. Again, it reminds me of the Phoenix Lights. If you guys don't know what the Phoenix Lights are, look them up on YouTube. Fucking crazy, dude. Okay. Eventually, I will talk about them in detail. And let's do one more case. This one is from January 6th of this year, titled Yellow Orange Sphere Sighted Over Pennsylvania. Case number 113005. Near midnight of the new year, Jordan and 3 other witnesses sighted a yellow orange sphere about 60 degrees above the horizon in Beavertown. Show you a Beavertown. Beavertown, Pennsylvania. Beavertown is located in Pennsylvania's Appalachian Mountains. Woohoo! The sighting lasted for about 2 minutes while the object blinked, pulsated, and glowed. Glowed. Is that it? Is that the right way to put that? And glowed? That doesn't sound right, does it? Is that a different way to... pulsated and glue? I don't know. I don't fucking know, man. There were no sounds or emissions. Very common. As we all know, usually no sounds, usually no emissions when it comes to UFO sightings. And yellow-ish, orange-ish colored lights aren't that uncommon. If you guys would remember to, you know, when we did the episode, when we just did our Dyatlov Pass episode at the end there, when we were talking about the theories, hikers had seen yellow, orangish colored lights in the sky previous to the Dyatlov Pass incident. Seeing UFOs this color, pretty common. I would say this is like another common thing. It's these things we're seeing are commonalities, right? These sightings. And the more and more we see, the more and more people try to explain it as swamp gas. I'm like, okay, yeah, show me a swamp in Pennsylvania and I'll give you like $1 million, right? So something weird is happening. Something weird is definitely going on, guys. And you know what? Speaking of UFO sightings, speaking of, you know, the truth, It's been fun reading stuff, but I actually have somebody in the studio to interview. It's a real UFO witness. His name is Ralph Leroy Kinsdale. So please, everybody, welcome our guest, Mr. Kinsdale.
Right. Nice, dude.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And really quick, it is Mr. Kinsdale, right? Not Mrs.
Yeah, Mr. is fine. Yes.
Okay, I thought so, right? But, you know, you can't be too sure these days. You just can't be too sure, right? Because if you were post-op, I would tell you to sue your plastic surgeon, right? You know what I mean? Anyway, let's get into the topic at hand here. UFO. You saw one. Now, tell me, what exactly were you doing when it happened, right? We got to know. Walk us through the evening.
Well, I'm a farmer, right? So I was out in the fields one evening just making sure that everything was all right with my crops.
All right, going to be honest with you, Farmer John's pork sausage. Who gives a shit about your crops, man? Like, I'm not looking for a biography. Get to the sighting. Okay, we're getting to the end of the episode here. Getting to the sighting.
Well, now, son, I think it's pretty rude of you to treat a guest this way. Hey, man, this is my show now, okay? I am not taking shit from anyone. So you either get into the UFO sighting, or so help me God, I will take back the $10 I gave you to do this interview and burn your fucking crops while you sleep. Do you understand me? And I might have sex with your daughter. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I was out in the field, and all of a sudden, the floodlights around the barn and the house went out, and it was pitch black. I freaked out. Because I have been deathly afraid of the dark since I was a little kid. No, pussy. Pussy. And then out of nowhere, a massive light came out of the sky. Or multiple lights, I should say. It illuminated the entire field I was working in. I was transfixed on it. And when I looked up into the sky, I saw the lights were lining the outside of what looked like another massive triangular-shaped object.
Wow, that's interesting. Using words like illuminated, transfixed, triangular. Right, calm down, Webster. I know this is your first podcast interview, but put away the thesaurus. You know, you're making some of us look bad. So let's get this going. So you saw the light, right? Sounds crazy. So what happened after this? Because according to your report, it was just a sighting, but I got to know, did anything happen after you saw the light?
Yeah. So after about a minute of looking at this object above my cornfield, I felt a vibration all over my body. Now, it started off very faint, like when your leg loses circulation and it starts to lose feeling. Then it gradually became stronger and covered my entire body, right? I honestly thought I was dying.
Well, you will be dead if you don't get to the good shit already, old McDonald. Let's go. Let's go.
You are a sour young man. You know that? Well, anyway, when the vibration sensation reached its peak, right, I believe I lost consciousness because the next thing I remember is being on the spaceship I saw in the field. I was strapped to a metal table. I laid there thinking it was over for me, right? I have been laying there for over an hour. Now, eventually, two weird beings came in the room. They were tall, about 6 feet tall, and beautiful looking, right? One was a female, and the other was a male. Blonde hair, blue eyes, marbly skin.
Whoa, hold up. Sounds like Nordics. But I gotta ask you, was the female bumping? Was she thick? Because I've heard rumors about Nordics, and we all kind of know where this is going.
Well, she was a beauty. I will say that for sure.
I knew it, dude. I fucking knew it. Now, go on. I have a feeling I'm about to get my $10 worth here in a minute, so let's get this rolling.
Yeah, well, anyway, when the two beings came in, the male told me through my mind that they were not here to harm me. In fact, he said that this might be a decent time for me. And when I mean they told me through my mind, it's like I heard them talking in my brain without them actually speaking. And they could hear my thoughts. It was like a nonverbal conversation.
Yeah, it's called telepathy, right? Who is the Webster now, generally? Come on, get on with the story.
Hey, fuck you, buddy. Whoa. So the male just said that they would be collecting samples from me, and he left the room, and the female stayed behind. Nice, nice. I was still strapped to the table, and the female alien walked over to the side of the table and cut my pants. I don't think that they knew how buttons and zippers worked, which is kind of weird to think about because they seem so far ahead, right? But once the pants were cut, she pulled out my willy and held it in her giant alien hand.
That sucks, man. But the big alien hand probably made it look like you had a baby penis, right? That sucks.
Now, I know you're making fun of me, but yes, it kind of did. Anyway, I get very erect for her, right? Painfully erect. And we made sweet love in 2 of 3 of the vaginas that I saw on her body. I tried not to finish inside of her because Mom always told me that a gentleman pulls out, but I could not pull out as I was still strapped to the table. God damn, you got 3 vaginas on that thing? Yeah, you bet, man. It was a magical night, and when me and the alien lady finished making love, she left, and the male came back in, saying that I would have a hybrid child out in the stars somewhere someday. And this is great for me, because honestly, my wife and I have not been able to create a child together.
Well, here's the good news, Mrs. Kinsdale. Mr. Kinsdale, if you could knock up a Nordic alien chick, you're probably not firing blanks, right? So, between everything going on with you and your wife, it looks like your wife has the ovaries and they're about as active as like the Club Penguin servers, right?
What?
Well, anyway, thank you so much for being here today, Mr. Kinsdale. You smell just about as bad as your name sounds, but hot damn, that was a steamy story. Right, and I know you have to go shuck some corn and, you know, put burning crosses on people on certain neighbors' lawns and stuff. So we'll let you go, but please come back anytime. But next time you pay me, okay?
What did you? Anyways, hey, that was fun, right?
This has been, guys. This has been the Nick Solo Variety Alien Time Show, okay? And we don't need Tasker, right? Who needs him? Cutting all the jokes. Yeah, the format's a little screwed up now. I'll figure it out, though. We'll get through this together. And I'll replace him with, I don't know, nobody. It's just going to be me, all right? Yeah, I can't make music. And yeah, I can't edit. And yeah, I can't tune. I can't do, like, EQ shit. And yeah, so maybe the quality will drop a little bit. But, you know, who needs him? I did want to say thank you for listening to the first episode of the Nick Solo Variety Alien Time Show. As the years go on with this show, I will eventually get a new format going, something a little bit more like, you know, it's a variety show, but I'll find more fun stuff to bring into said variety, right? Maybe we can do movie reviews, horror movie reviews to be specific. Maybe we can do, I don't know, real interviews instead of me just doing dumb voices. We'll figure it out. And you know what? A lot of this episode was gross, so I really hope that none of your kids were listening. And if they were, you're going to have that conversation with them. It's time to talk about the birds and the bees. And then let them know that there are people out there that take advantage of sex and take advantage of the fact that we can't make fun of people for their sexual preferences and they get away with this shit, okay? So you let them know. Anyway, guys, Count Chocula, still in the works. I'm still going to nail that shit. I'm going to be doing it. Yeah, half my work is gone now because I kicked Tasker's artistic ass out. But hey, I still got half the work. I can get the other half done again, and I can continue on. We'll get that episode out for Count Chocula. iTunes, rate and review, if you would. That would be awesome. Glad to hear from you guys. Spotify. Give us a follow on there. We have new episodes every Wednesday. Instagram at CEOTPK, soon to be changed, by the way. Same with all this shit. This is all going to be changed soon because every time I see CEOTPK or every time I see Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind, I can't help but think of Tasker, and it makes me angry. Anyway, YouTube, Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind for now. Twitter, at CEOTPK1, Facebook, Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. You can email the show at CEOTPK1 at gmail.com. Discord, discord.gg/lowercase b6T5M X. And last but not least, if you think that we deserve some kind of donation or a coffee, you can visit our coffee at ko-fi.com/CEOTPK. Please don't feel pressured. Just having everybody listen to the show is a donation in itself. And isn't that just the most, isn't that the most gorgeous thing, right? I'm not asking for money, right? Because I'm a martyr. I just like hearing you guys on our Discord. So join our Discord and chat with us. That's a gift in itself, okay? Anyway, it's been fun, I think. This has been the Nick Solo Variety Alien Time Show. And hope to hear from you guys soon. And remember, if you guys have pictures of me and Tasker out there somehow, burn the pictures of Tasker. Burn them. Burn them. Burn them. I'll think of a new ending for the show. We can't do the whole "the truth is out there, no, it's not" thing anymore. It doesn't work. So, you know, for now, I'm just going to say furries suck. But what was that? Okay, Tasker, let's cut this part. I fucked it up.